The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Susan Keogh filling in for Matt Cooper on The Last Word. I'm joined in studio by Michael Murphy for our Friday interview. Michael, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us on The Last Word.
Susan, I'm delighted to be here.
Now, broadcaster, psychoanalyst, author, and I'm going to add newlywed to that list. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
So, new husband and new book.
New husband, new book. And in the middle of it all, I was also 70. So there are three events in the past week.
Well, we'll come on to the new husband. Let's start with the new book, because I was looking at this last night. Now, I love it. Book of Dreams, Unlock the Hidden Meaning of Your Dreams. So let's get stuck into it. Dreams. Do we all dream?
We all dream every night. Now, we may not remember the dreams when we wake up in the morning, but everybody dreams every night, and at least four times a night.
And how come some people don't remember them then?
What I would say is that the dream has done its work while you're sleeping. That's why you don't remember the dream. If it's an important dream or a big dream, you will remember it, or you'll certainly remember who was in it, and you'll ask the question, why was I dreaming of that person last night, you know?
And what about those dreams that kind of stay with you for the day? Like, are they the really important dreams?
They are, and it'll be important to examine the feelings that keep with you throughout the day. What is it? Is anxiety, or was it unsettling? What is all of that about? And generally it's due to something that is going on in your present life at the moment. Where does that particular feeling fit into what's going on in your everyday life?
So dig a little bit deeper into that for me then, because I do find that when you have a dream and then you wake up and you think about it, you can always relate it back to something that happened maybe, is it 48 hours or maybe 3 days beforehand? But you generally can kind of pinpoint something that made you think that.
Yes, it might have been a conversation you had with somebody and something just slipped by, you caught it out of the corner of your eye, and there suddenly it's writ large at night. It could be some traumatic incident that happened to you, something big that happened to you, and it's fairly obvious. But generally, it'll be in a little detail in the dream. You'll find out something that has happened in the past 24, 48 hours, as you say.
And should we take note of what we're dreaming about then?
Well, we should, because the dreams often go in a sequence or a series. And you might be dreaming, maybe your mother was shopping in the supermarket. Right, fair enough. A week later, your mother will be shopping in a particular shop. And, you know, then she'll be handing over money maybe in a month's time. So what is all of that sequence about? You know, the same thing. It's involving your mother. It's involving her buying something. And, you know, you'll be able to work down to what exactly your psyche is trying to tell you.
So a warning in a way.
Yes, your dreams often warn us that something is going to happen. Often it might be, say, a disaster, a dreadful dream about, you know, your plane is about to fall out of the sky and you're in it and you wake up before it hits the ground. That is letting you know that there isn't a predetermined outcome. You can involve yourself in whatever situation is involved now and change the disaster before it actually happens.
And can dreams, can you have premonitions in your dreams then?
You can have premonitions in your dreams. There's a famous dream that Lincoln had a fortnight before he was assassinated. He walked into the main room in the White House and there was a president laid out. A president had died. And, you know, that was a premonition. And even Julius Caesar had a premonition that he was going to be killed, you know.
And what about when you're having a dream and it's a really good dream and you wake up and then you kind of want to continue the dream the next night? You don't have any control over that, though, of course.
No, you don't. Although if you're paying attention to the dreams on a regular basis, it might even be possible to go back into that dream again. I've had people, clients tell me that, you know, that has happened and they've been able to continue. But generally what the dream is doing is trying to bring balance back into your life. If you're out of balance in your everyday life, if there's something going wrong, you're drinking too much or whatever, you'll have a compensatory dream which will try to pull you back into balance. The unconscious always wants what's best for you, Susan. So that's what it's trying to do all the time, to help you along your journey of life, as it were.
So talk to me a little bit about some of the more common dreams. You'll often hear Irish people talk about the leaving cert dream. Tell us about that one.
Well, the leaving cert dream is it's the most traumatic exam that we have to go through, because it really determines the rest of your life. And so often what happens is you're back doing the Leaving Cert and you're maybe 30 or 35 years of age and you're trying to fit into the desk and all the young people around you know how to do the maths question, all these cosines. Do you remember? Which you forget instantly as soon as you leave school. But so you can't do it. And it's failure is obviously something that we all hate. So you're staring failure straight ahead. So that dream is a warning dream. It might be you have to do a presentation at work or you're going for an interview and it is telling you you really need to put the preparation in here. You can't just go in and coast. The second thing that it's telling you is that at 30 or 35 years of age and you're back doing the leaving, the skills that helped you at 17 and in 18 years of age are not the skills you should be using at 35 or 40 years of age. So you've got a lot of wisdom since you left school, and that wisdom you need to bring to bear on whatever present problem is facing you and that you need to prepare for.
So it's not really the leaving again, it's just an incident or a set of circumstances that mirrors maybe the way you felt back then.
Yeah, in other words, in the dream, you are the producer-director, you write the script, you choose the characters. So it's often good to say, now, what's the bottom line in the drama of the dream? What is it trying to tell me?
And do you think people ask themselves those questions? How aware are we of, I suppose, how important dreams are? You're saying they could act as a warning or they can tell you a lot about yourself. Yes. But do you think some people just wake up and say, well, I dreamt that last night? Or do you think people actually take stock of what they are dreaming?
Some people do. If you think about it, you're very careful about who you tell your dream to.
Yeah, well, you say that. I want to ask you about that. Yeah. Why is that so important? You say only tell people close to you about what you're dreaming.
Because it's very revealing, Susan.
Okay.
Really, any dream is telling you how your soul operates.
Okay.
So you should only tell your dream to somebody that you trust, your partner or boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, husband or wife, only somebody you really trust. And you do not arrive into the office and say, oh, I had a dream that I was in bed with the boss last night.
But I think people don't follow that advice, because you often hear people say, wait till I tell you what I dreamt last night. And they could be just telling somebody in work.
Yeah. But again, it's telling you about them. Why should they have dreamt that they went to bed with the boss, or whatever.
And what about teeth falling out? This is a dream I have a good bit, that I wake up and my teeth have fallen out in the middle of the night. What does that tell me about me?
Well, first of all, your teeth are very important. And if you've a lovely set of teeth, it means you can smile beautifully. They're very important. Up to about 50 years ago, as you got older, your teeth fell out. It doesn't happen today because of good dentistry and all of that sort of thing. So it's also a dream about getting older. And often when we're faced with something difficult in our lives, say you're eating something and it's very hard or whatever, you might chip a tooth or you can't take it in. So it's the same, that's a huge metaphor for something facing you and you just weren't able to digest it. And as a result, your teeth actually fell out. They broke, So all of those things apply to that particular teeth dream.
And we'll come on to talk about your career as a broadcaster in a few minutes. But another dream that I have as a newsreader, which is my normal job most of the time, is that you arrive in to read the news, but all your information has disappeared. There's nothing on your screen. There's blank pieces of paper. Have you ever had that dream?
I have had that dream on many occasions. And I've left that bit of the career behind, but I still have that particular nightmare. And it means really that you are not sufficiently prepared. You really need to up your game, as it were, And it's an anxiety dream. And really what you should do is just ask, okay, where is anxiety running at the moment? What am I worried about,
Now, I want to talk specifically. I looked through this last night, and one of the bigger sections in this book is sex and relationship dreams. So of all the dreams, this takes up most people's dreaming time. Tell us about that.
Well, Freud always said that in every single dream, even in the most innocuous dream, that there is a sexual element. And certainly people have sexual dreams. They don't often talk about them, but they do form a large part of the material of dreams. And was there any particular dream in that section of the book that
well,
you
Well, there's
liked?
A couple of them. One of my favourites is Deirdre's sex dream about her male friend, which, fair enough. Rory's exotic dreams, never about his girlfriend, which is interesting. And Lucky Podrig, his constant erotic dreams. So I just think it's interesting, like you were talking about dreams being a bit of a warning. So if somebody has a sexual dream about, like you said, their boss or somebody completely inappropriate, like what does that say? What can
well,
I tell them?
Having sex with someone is the most intimate thing you can do. So here you are having a relation, being really intimate with some particular person. Okay, it might not actually refer to sex. It might refer to getting really close to them, or you admire the qualities they have in addition to them being good looking or whatever it is that turns you on. But it's important to in some way incorporate the qualities you admire in that person, the person you're having sexual dreams with. And like one of those dreams there is about, you know, it's not about his girlfriend. He recognizes he's having sex with somebody else.
Okay.
You know? So what is it that that other person has that his girlfriend doesn't have? You know, that's the question you need to ask. And if there is, say he goes ahead and marries the girlfriend, if there is, say, 90% compatibility there, he's okay. But if it's only 60%, that means that there is 40% stray. So, you know, there may be trouble in that marriage ahead.
So you actually should take stock of
Oh, do
of
take
that.
Stock
okay.
of your dreams. Do take stock of your dreams and try to work out what's happening in them.
Okay. And in terms of... you know, I suppose you talk about how powerful dreams can be, and you often hear people talk about dream cheating. So they dream that their partner cheated on them, and then they wake up the next day and they actually approach their partner as if that actually happened. You know, the dream stays with them. They can be very powerful that way.
They can be. At what level is the partner cheating on them?
Okay.
Sexually, it comes up as the drama is sexually, but maybe they're spending too much time. I don't know. Maybe even at work, and the partner is feeling abandoned. They're cheating on them with work, which is taking the priority, whereas their partner should be number one. It could be that they have a relationship with the bottle or with drugs. And that comes first, and maybe their partner is just a poor third and they're feeling that. So it's good to examine. Where the dream
another
leads us.
One I really liked was Kevin's dream of a roller coaster, Superman, and an octopus. What was wrong with poor Kevin?
Oh, that was a difficult situation, I must say. Our dreams can often be absolutely bizarre.
Okay.
And what you should do in all of those situations, like what does a roller coaster mean to you? What is an octopus for you?
Yeah.
You know, and so by working like that, you'll be able to come
to pinpoint where it
matters for you as a person.
Well, we talked a little bit earlier there about your life as a newsreader. Tell us a little bit about your time in RTÉ, and how did you go from reading the news to analysing dreams?
Well, my original degree was, I won a scholarship to the University of Nancy in France, where I studied psychoanalysis, and I did the first master's there and came back. It was the beginning of the 70s. It was a difficult time to get jobs, and I knew I had a good voice. And I went into RTÉ, and Pat Kenny was in the same class as me. We trained together.
And did you enjoy your time there?
I loved the time in RTÉ. After a number of years, maybe 15, I applied again to become a producer director. It was an external competition. We were trained in RTÉ for over a year. Wonderful privilege. And I got to play with the train set for about 15 years and then went back to the newsroom again.
And when was your last news gig then? When did you finish that up?
The last news gig was about 4 years ago.
And you missed it?
I don't miss the early morning starts,
okay.
Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. What I miss is the companionship and the great fun and camaraderie that's there.
Yeah.
And from being inside it, as you are, Susan, you realise that no matter what people outside say, everybody actually wants to do the best job they can. and they give of their best all the time, and it isn't often appreciated. And that's what I feel sorry about when I hear people giving out about Today FM or
any
or
company,
RTE,
yeah.
Any company, you know, that it's manned by people who really try to do the best job they can.
Now, tell us a little bit about Terry. So you got married last weekend, saw some nice pictures in the paper. You both looked very dapper. How was it all?
It was a wonderful day.
Okay.
It was an absolutely wonderful day. Instead of the normal 3-day event, which they seem to have nowadays, we did a 3-hour event. You know.
I love that. Speedy. So
little drinks reception beforehand. We had a wonderful ceremony. And my colleagues from RTE were there. Eileen Dunn, Eamon Lawler, Eimear O'Kelly, Sienna Campbell. They all read some of my poems during the ceremony. And afterwards, we had a lovely meal in the Herbert Park Hotel. And in theory, people could go from about 8 o'clock on then that evening. But I think we left at 2 o'clock in the morning. So.
And you had a civil partnership, though, up to
we had,
before?
We
yeah,
okay. In 2011.
Okay.
So we're civil partners. So we went for the upgrade.
Okay, the upgrade. I love that.
Well, if you know, the Irish people were so generous in their vote, we felt we should also honour that as well.
That's lovely.
Yeah, so obviously we got married because we love each other, but that vote needed to be acknowledged. Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about, I know I was reading, you came out, where you're originally from, Castlebar in Mayo, and you came out when you were in your 20s to your parents. Take
yes.
me back to that time a little bit. How was it difficult?
That was a difficult situation.
Okay.
It was...
Youngest of five or oldest of five?
I'm the oldest of five. Oldest of five. And it was before... it wasn't planned. If you're ever doing this sort of thing, you should really plan it. And it was before a Sunday lunch. And when people are hungry.
But everything goes down badly.
Everything goes down badly. So it was... not quite a disaster, but I had to do it over again,
okay.
I wouldn't do it that way. And you must remember that I grew up in a time where it was absolutely illegal. In fact, there was no language. We didn't have words like gay or homo even. You know, it wasn't you. There was, at that time, it wasn't even David Norris who was the only gay in the village. It was Micheál MacLaymore, the director of the gate and the actor. So he was the only one in Ireland.
Okay.
It didn't exist. And absolutely illegal. So it took some time for me to, first of all, get used to what I was. And it was only when I was on the J1 visa in the States that I'm always interested in French literature. So I read André Gide and Jean Genet. And suddenly there was a language out there that approximated to what my experience was. So... In a poem I wrote about the vote, the referendum vote, these words I wear have set me free. So,
okay, that's lovely. That's really, really nice. And in terms of when you were in RTE then, so obviously you told your parents, and is it something that you were very open about in RTE?
Oh, no,
when you
not
were,
at all.
No,
not
no.
at all. I was in RTE in the 70s, so not at all. I didn't... In fact, it was part of the contract that you did not bring the station into disrepute.
Okay.
And you couldn't say anything like that. So I went through my early years of my gay life not visiting any of the gay bars or any of the discos or anything like that. I was not seen there. So it was a very private and hidden.
And when did that change for you? Can you pinpoint when? How long are yourself and Terry together?
We're together 33 years. I was a producer director of Access Community Television, which was a forerunner of reality TV. And we were up in the Rutland Centre filming. And Terry was leading a group, a group session. You obviously couldn't film the clients, so the counsellors actually sat in. So I was able to see Terry there and realised he was a good guy over 3 days looking at him through the television screen. So I said, you know, we set up house together shortly after that, and it would have been, maybe 10 years before we were really quite open about it. Yeah.
Now, before I let you go, I just want to talk to you about one thing. We're just coming to the end of Dare to Care here on Today FM, which is our month where we fundraise for the Irish Cancer Society. So we've heard an awful lot of really nice stories from cancer survivors over the month of September. You are one. I know you have prostate cancer. You look very, very well. How's your health at the minute?
Thank God, it's really good. Yeah. Really,
I can't believe you're 70.
Yes, I can't believe I'm 70 either.
You look fantastic.
Yeah. So look, I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
I was looking at the lucky ones.
But we heard a lot from lucky people, you know, right, over the last month. And it is lovely to hear those stories as well. Yeah. I think it can give people an awful lot of hope.
Yeah, it can. Prostate cancer is a difficult one. I regarded it as a ticking bomb inside. So remove that.
Yeah.
It's rather like the nut at the end of the cylinder in the hot press. That's what it is.
Okay.
You can end up with erectile dysfunction, and also you can be incontinent. And unfortunately, I was one of those 2 or 3% that it happens to. So it was quite traumatic. And I'm really relieved that that is behind me. I had further operations and everything is fine now. So I think it gives you a different outlook on life. It is always there in the background. You get a little twinge and you say, oh God, is this it back?
Yeah.
You know, but every day is a gift, and it really puts things into context for you. As long as you're alive, there's always hope.
So you feel very lucky.
Feel extremely lucky.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Michael Murphy, thank you very much for speaking to me on The Last Word. I really enjoyed that. And your book of dreams, available in all good bookshops, I presume.
It is indeed, yeah.
And the best of luck with it. And of course, the best of luck to you and Terry. And I hope all your dreams come true.
Thank you very much, Susan.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.